Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
And welcome to another broadcast of Kingdom of God Ministries. Tonight we have a hot topic, why racism? This is something that we all need to be discussing, especially in the church, because you see a lot of racism in the church, although they have made some inroads, but you still can see racism. You still can see division. So we're not going to delay. We have a caller. I'll bring that caller in shortly, 9933, but first we want to open up in prayer. Bishop.
Thank you. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, first of all, we want to thank you for allowing us to bless the people through Kingdom of God Ministries. We thank you for the program that you have given us. We thank you for everything that you have done for us. Father God, we ask that you bless your people everywhere. Open up their minds and their hearts that they will receive revelation by your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Okay, we lost a caller, but if you would like to call in, if you have a comment, feel free to call in. We don't want you to be nervous or anything. We're people just like you are. So there's no big eyes or little U's here. We just welcome everybody on Kingdom of God Ministries. As I said before, we're talking on racism tonight, and we would appreciate your call in. We want to hear from you. Have you encountered racism? Are you encountering racism? Our call-in number is 646-668-8633. Again, our call-in number is 646-668-8643. And as you know, like I said earlier, racism does exist. It's sad that we're still talking about racism in the year 2018. However, it is a fact. It is a reality. You probably encounter it every day, going in one way or the other. But how do you get past that? You as a people, you as people of God, you as people in general, how do you get past racism? Are you bigger than racism? Are you going to let racism destroy you? Will you internalize that racism? Amen. Wanted to read you something out of the Bible, and then I'll go into my teaching, and then pastor can go as the Lord lead him. But I'm coming to you out of 1 John, and if you have your Bibles, you could turn there, but it's 1 John 4:20. Amen? So this is, it's really, the Bible is really bringing it out if we would just practice what we preach. Amen? So I'm coming to you, 1 John, amen, and it's 4 through 20. Well, then I had James 2, so let's go with James 2. Let's go with James 2 through 4. James say, for if there should come into your assembly, talking about your church, a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Talking about prejudice. What prejudice is a preconceived opinion that is not based on reason or actual experience. It can inflict harm or injury based on your prejudices. And we all have had to deal with some type of prejudices. It may be prejudice, may not necessarily be white on black or black on white or Asian on black or Indian on white or just whatever. It could be within your own little social network. Well, if I'm of this social class and you're, this is what James is talking about, and you're not of this social class, then we're going to look down on you because you don't go to this particular sorority or you're not part of our brotherhood. So you create prejudice, a preconceived racist, well, notion about another person. All blacks, all whites, you can't say that. And I hear it a lot, and I tell you, I will shoot it down. You can't say you're a child of God and look at people differently. You can't do that. You can't say I'm a believer and believe in the holy God, but I can look down on my brother or my sister because they don't look like me, or they don't worship like us, or they don't go to the same church as I go to. Those are prejudices. And we need to stop that in the body of Christ. Amen? So let's go over here to John. I want to bring this out. This is John 4:20. It says, someone says, I love God and hates his brother. He is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So this is going out to all the people who said, I love God. But is your demonstration in your actions towards your brothers or your sisters? Is it showing the love of God? You know, we were doing some research, and anything that is foreign to us is treated as a mark of danger or threat. That's where the prejudice come in. So if something is foreign to you and you don't understand it, you automatically, your antennas go up and you automatically say, stop. We don't want to be part of them. We don't want to fellowship with them. Neither do we want to live by them. Because we don't want to understand them. Because you don't want to get out your little comfort zone and find out about another person. Because you know what the number one is? Xenophobia is a fear of intense dislike for a person, could be from another country. Okay, I'll bring the caller in now. We had a caller in. Caller, we have you on the air, 9933. Did you have a comment or question?
From another country. Okay, I'll bring the caller in now. We had a caller in. Caller, we have you on the air, 9933. Did you have a comment or question? From another country. Okay, I'll bring the caller in now. We had a caller in.
Might need to cut your radio down. Caller? Can you hear me? Amen. So I there was a lot of backfeeding in there. So when you call in, cut your radio down, or you know, or you're gonna get that feedback on the line. So I could try to bring you in. When you cut your phone radio down, I'll try to bring you back in. But xenophobia is a fear or intense dislike for a person from another country. Could be from another country, another culture, another background, fearful, you're fearful. But the number one is fear. You're fearful. More than half of the world is suffering from this irrational disease. You're fearful of the Jews. You're fearful of the blacks. You're fearful of the Muslims. You're fearful, you're fearful, you're fearful. And it's a disease. Because the average person is really not thinking about you like that. Average person, and I want you to do a little study on yourself. Think about your neighbor. Might be of a different race. But 9 times out of 10, that neighbor is not really thinking about you the way you think that neighbor is thinking about you. That neighbor is out going to work, doing what they do just like you do. So neighbor, listening, if you fearful of your neighbor, why don't you try going over there, introducing yourself to that neighbor and finding out about that neighbor? Because a lot of times your preconceived notions about that person, once you get to know that person, you'll find out that they're nothing like what you were thinking. It was all based on fear. And we need to stop it. We're fearful of, like I said, when you go to an unfamiliar place, you're often made to feel like an outsider. And sometimes that's even right here in America. Some places you can go to and you can feel like you're an outsider. It's not just in a foreign country. It could be right here at your church, right here in your community. You could feel like an outsider. Why? Because of this xenophobia. Amen? There's a preconception on the economic front is often the reason behind racial crimes. And you know the history of a lot of racial crimes, things that took place and burning people's churches down and lynching. And they have a memorial right here in Alabama. It's about all the men and women that were lynched because of this xenophobia, fear. And fear, God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if God has not given us a spirit of fear, where do you think the spirit of fear comes from? Amen? And then we have the number one is intrinsic human nature. Deep down in all of us, we suffer from inferiority complex. in order to establish our supremacy. And this is what this white supremacy is based on. They have an inferiority complex. So what it does is trickle down into their senses that we need to show others in a poor light. So that's why they call it white supremacy, because they need to build themselves up to look down and try to portray other people in a negative light. So you notice they're going to brainwash the people in that sect and say that all blacks, excuse me, I don't know this call, all blacks is this, all blacks is that. What it is perpetuating hate deep down in someone where that person will not, for you, when they start brainwashing them at a young age, this is what white supremacy does. And it brainwashes them. And I'm not just talking white supremacy. I'm talking about anybody that perpetuates hate. I'll try to get caller 9933 in again. Caller, you're on the air.
Anybody that perpetuates hate.
Okay, and so racial segregation provides us with mortals, provide us with a wonderful opportunity. What it does, it tells groups and realize that you are racially inferior. This is what racial segregation does. So it continually, and you think about 400 years of what been propagated to black race, telling you you're inferior, you're less than human, you know. And I did research on the 12 major cities that is the worst places to live. I'm not going to call them out, but it was ironic to me that the 12 major cities, all of them was predominantly black. See, a lot of this stuff is engineered, and people don't even realize the racial injustices, even in our court system, even in our school system. It automatically bring forth, yeah, we took the white, black, Jim Crow off the water fountains and off the buildings, but it's still underlined there. You automatically looked upon differently when you go to purchase a house. Yeah, they say fair housing practices, but you automatically, some kind of way, gonna get a higher interest rate when you apply for a loan. Think about it. And I want you to think about some of these things, because a lot of the hate that we is hate against our neighbor don't have anything to do with it. What we call the elitists, and they govern the interest rates. They govern where you live. You say they govern where we live? Yeah. They create ghettos. They take all the jobs out the ghetto, and they leave the ghettos, and predominantly black people is in the ghettos. So you're going to have crime-infested areas because the people can't afford to go anywhere else. So then you will have the drug dealers to come in because they're opportunists too. And they don't care if they have to enslave their young men and young women for their opportunistic ways. They take advantage of the situation. They say they're entrepreneurs. But what they do, they take advantage of the people that is in need. So let's go on. Then I want to talk about how they perpetuate that black is evil. Think about that. If you've been told this for 400 years, that being black is a negative blight on your skin because you're black, God created us all. But this is what you hear a lot of times. They paint a negative picture of black. Most of the crime you see is where? In the black neighborhood. Because they're feeding the fear of other races that black is negative. That's why when you go out the country and some other countries, they don't want to be around black people, because America has perpetuated blacks to be negative, sorry, lazy. A lot of unwed mothers don't want husbands. They paint a negative picture, but they whitewash white America. They're kind. They're good. They're sweet. They're intelligent. Look, we got to stop this, because the only way we're going to get past this racism, it has to start with us. Amen? We have to make a conscious decision that it will start with us. Get out your comfort zone. Do something different tomorrow. If you never went to a black church, get up and go to a black church. If you never went to a white church, get up and go to a white church. Stop living in fear. Stop letting the media dictate to you, because that's who's dictating to you. They want to divide the races, keep you divided, where they can slip their little demonic plan and destroy the masses. This is what they do. Amen? So we need to get past that. We need to become as Christ see every person. Judge ye not. And I know we have taken that scripture and we beat that scripture, judge ye not. But I just read out of James where he said, do not judge. That is prejudice. If you have a preconceived notion about another man or woman based on their color, based on what they drive, based on what they wear, that is prejudice. That's a preconceived notion. Even go further to say, judging people based on, you can live, but we shouldn't have any prejudgment of putting somebody in heaven or hell, because that's not your job to do. And if it was left up to men, their mindset is so warped, they would say a certain class is going to hell and a certain class will go to heaven. That's why God told them, no, I don't want you to judge. Because y'all corrupt. You would be putting people look like you in heaven, and people don't look like you in hell. But he's the righteous judge. And that's why he's going to look right in there at that heart. See, because you can't fool God. You can go to church all you want to, read the Bible all you want to, but God said, I looks at the heart. And this was the deception during the slave trade. Many slave masters was going to church, claiming to be Christian, but they were inflicting all kinds of harm and murder and pain to God's people. There were 12 tribes of Israel. 12 tribes were scattered. All of them is not there in Israel today. Okay, let's get past that, because all we see is those in Israel right now. But you had, the man had 12 sons, and the 12 sons had children, and they were scattered all over the earth. So they're coming, they come from every tribe, kindred, and tongue. So how will you hate your brother? You could be part of that very tribe that they came from. How are you going to hate? I told you, hate is based on fear. When you fear somebody, that's because you don't know that person. And you won't go out your comfort zone to find out about that person. Like I said, the commercials, everything. Look at some of your commercials. And some of the news, I just cut the news off. Because the first 20 minutes, all you see is black men killing black men, and black this and black that, and black negativity. We have to sometimes cut that off, because if we don't, that can mess up our psyche. And we'll start thinking just like that propaganda. They propagate us to think. They brain. We talked about mind control, but this is what they use. They use mind control. They already got your program. They already said that a certain percentage of young black men will be incarcerated before they are 25. They did a study that 1 out of 3 whites go to jail. Now, 1 out of 3 blacks goes to jail, whereas 1 in 17 whites go to jail. Think about that. And to the men that go to jail, and you say that you're not going to be part of this slavery, and they're using you. When you go to jail, you're working for free. So you're still in a slave-type environment because you're not free. They didn't I just tell you how they have devised a more cunning way to put you in slavery? It's cunningly, but it's still slavery. If you don't have freedom to the free world outside and you're in chains and you can't get out and you incarcerated, but you're still working for free, you're enslaved. This is why we need to educate our young people. Now, it's not a banner of honor to go out there and gang bang and shoot and all this. But I do want to say this. Even though the media portray a lot of that to be true, look in your own neighborhood. How can you stop it? How can your community rise up against it? Because it starts with us first. We have to stop it. And then other people will see us coming together, protesting against it. If you want the violence to stop in your community, start getting some active groups together. And tell them enough is enough. Don't let the drug lords run your community. Our only peace and serenity for some of us is when we go to church. And now they even breaking into churches and robbing and killing them. Look, some of this stuff is, I say it's propaganda, but some starts right here in our own backyard. And we need to stop it. Talking about racism, we can be racist against our own selves. You say, oh, evangelist, that's deep. Yeah, you can. Because of what the stereotype has propagated and put in your mind, you act it out every day. They have told you that you're going to be a drug dealer. You're going to be incarcerated by your 25. You're going to have 50 babies out of wedlock. And that's what you perpetuate. Somebody got to break it. Somebody got to stop it. Say it stops here. The buck stopped here. Yeah, I may have had a baby out of wedlock, but I'd be doggone if I'm going to have 5 and 6 of them. I'm not going to do it anymore. Or I might have went to jail, but I'm going to stop. So you can repent. You can turn away. You can stop. So they can. So a lot of this stuff on TV that they perpetuate as black negativity, then they can start seeing that, you know, when I come up, we did have the church. We went to church and families as a whole. We stuck together and we prayed together. We had culture. We had something to look up to. We put the word of God in our children. This is where it's going to start. We got to turn back to God. This is why Israel was scattered, and this is where we are today. Because a lot of times we have taken the way of the heathen and we try to adapt their ways. And you can't live like that and be God's chosen ones. You can't continue to live out of the will of God. Amen? Now we know that it's so much going on in our society. And oftentimes, we refer to second-class citizens, darker tone in America. You know, what is second-class? We need to get that out of our vocabulary. There's no such thing, second-class. That right there is putting you supreme up over somebody else. That's what I read to you out of James. We have little underlying statements that we say, and we don't even be conscious of what we're saying. God didn't make nobody a second-class citizen. God died for the whole world. He gave him his life for everyone. So there is no reason that someone should look down upon another person. Racism has been part of the human history since time. But it wasn't such as the color barrier. It was more so demographic. But America took it on to a whole new level. And Bishop will get into how they created white and black. In the beginning, there was no such thing, but America did. They say America slavery was the worst of all. And this is why we have it such rooted in us, and we need to get it out of us, because you can't worship God and hate your brother. You can't say you're a believer, but you don't want to be associated with someone that don't look like you. That's not of God. Amen. So we need to get out of that. Search ourselves. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Start searching the scriptures. Say, Lord, if there's anything in me, if I've been walking around prejudging, prejudice, cleanse me, Lord. It starts with you. Amen. So I want to conclude with that. That's really what I wanted to bring out. But the number one is fear. And then we know what history, we have a lot about history. Even the 13th Amendment say all men shall be free. However, it didn't apply to the black man. Amen. So I'm going to close out. Bishop will come, and then we'll bring you online. We have a call-in number. Call in. We want to hear your comments or questions. Our call-in number is 646-668-8633. I'll try to bring my call in again because they've been holding a while. Caller, you on the air.
8633. I'll try to bring my call in again because they've been holding a while.
Can you hear me, caller?
I'm just listening.
Okay, well, thanks for listening.
Hey, amen. We want to thank the Lord for what everything that Evangelist Montgomery said, and I want to go back to our subject, and our subject is why racism? We know that it exists in this country, and it's kind of throughout the nation. But the question is, why? What's the reason for this? Okay. I want to get into some things. Evangelist Montgomery brought out many good topics in reference to that. But one thing I want to bring out in reference to this, why racism and why we have such a division in the nation and somewhat in the world, but we're more concerned about this nation, where we live. One thing I want to bring out, if I said that as far as people are concerned, if I said black and white was something that was invented, it was something that was made up, somebody might say, what are you talking about, Bishop? Well, that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. Now, the question was, why was this thing made up? Well, I'm going to go back in history. Now, what I'm giving you is not hearsay. It's not my opinion. It is history. Okay. So, why did somebody invent black? And why did somebody invent white? Well, let's get into it a little bit. We're going back to the 1600s. Now, there was a particular person, some people, Anthony Johnson, said he secured his freedom from indentured servitude, and he acquired land and became a respected member of his community. Elizabeth Key, she also successfully appealed to the colony's legal system to set her free after she had been wrongfully enslaved. Wow. By the 1700s, the laws and customs of Virginia had begun to distinguish black people from white people. making it impossible for most Virginians of African descent to do what Johnson and Key had done. Now, what did Johnson and Key do? They used the legal system at the time to acquire their freedom because they had been wrongfully enslaved. I'll get into some things a little later. So it says that they made a distinction. They began to make a distinction between black people from white people. All right, let's go on. Why did the Virginia lawmakers make these changes? All right, we're getting somewhere. So many historians point to an event known as Bacon's Rebellion. This happened in 1676 as a turning point. Nathaniel Bacon, he was a wealthy white property owner and relative of the Virginia's governor, William Berkeley. Bacon and Berkeley, they didn't like each other. Even though they were related, they did not like each other, and they disagreed over many issues pertaining to how the colony should be governed. Remember, this is in the 1600s, and all this started back in Virginia. I don't want to get ahead of myself, so I'm going to kind of slow it down a little bit. Now, Bacon wanted the colony to retaliate for raids by Native Americans on frontier settlements and to remove all Native Americans from the colony so landowners like himself could expand their property interest. And they're in this land. They're on the Native Americans' land. But they want them off their own land. Why? So that they can expand their property and make more money. And they felt that that was okay. But that's one aspect. So what I'm basically saying is that he had his own goals too, because he was wealthy. But he was more concerned about the colony. But he was also concerned about making some money. And he was saying, well, hey, now, we want to take these lands from these Native Americans here because we just want it, basically, so that we can, you know, we can do what we want to do, greed and all this. But see, at that particular time, Bacon wanted to war against the Native Americans to take their land, but the governor thought within himself, well, look here, if you start attacking these Native Americans, then you're going to cause them to come together and attack us and destroy us. So Berkeley was looking at this thing at a more sensical aspect, that if you start attacking all these Native Americans that completely surround us, you're going to force them to band together and destroy us. So he told Bacon, he said, no, man, he told Nathaniel Bacon, he said, oh, no, I can't allow this here, what you're talking about, because you're going to get us all killed, in so many words. So, but Bacon defied the governor. He formed his own militia. Check this out. He formed his own militia that consisted of black and white indentured servants and enslaved black people who joined in exchange for freedom and attacked nearby tribes. In other words, he went against his relative, the governor, and went out there and started fighting the Native Americans. And what happened was, power struggle ensued with Bacon and his militia on one side and Berkeley, the Virginia House of Burgesses, and the rest of the colony's elite on the other. Did you hear that? The rest of the colony's elite on the other. In other words, the wealthy people in the colony. They fought for months. And Bacon, Nathaniel Bacon, in September 1676, captured Jamestown and burned it to the ground. Now, this is where this is going in Benton Black and White. Say, Bacon died of a fever a month later, and the rebellion fell apart. Virginia's wealthy planters were shaken by the fact that a rebel militia that united white and black servants and slaves had destroyed the colonial capital. And this is what did they do? said these events in Jamestown were alarming to the planter elite, who were deeply fearful of the multiracial alliance of indentured servants and slaves. The word of Bacon's rebellion spread far and wide, and several more uprisings of a similar type followed. Now, in an effort to protect their superior status and economic position, the elite, the wealthy landowners and planters, shifted their strategy for maintaining dominance, and they abandoned heavy reliance on indentured servants in favor of the importation of more black slaves. So they went from indentured servitude. Now, in indentured servitude, you served for a number of years, you got paid, you had the legal rights, see, black folks, white folks were indentured servants, and they had legal rights, so if they were wrong, they could go to the law and be set free, okay? Or that wrong would be righted because of the laws of the system, because they had rights. Say, after Bacon's rebellion, Virginia's lawmakers began to make legal, distinction between white and black inhabitants by permanently enslaving Virginians of African descent and giving poor white indentured servants and farmers some new rights and status. They hoped to separate the two groups and make it less likely that they would unite again in rebellion. You see? So this term, white and black, was an invention made up by the elite. Why? To keep people separated. Why would they keep them separate? Because they were afraid they would rise up against them and keep them from doing them wrong. Okay? It says, soon after Bacon's rebellion, they increasingly distinguished between people of African descent and people of European descent. They enact laws which say that people of African descent are hereditary slaves, and they increasingly give some power to independent white farmers and landholders. Now, what's interesting about this is that we normally say that slavery and freedom are opposite things, that they are diametrically opposed. But what we see here in Virginia in the 17th century, around Bacon's Rebellion, is that freedom and slavery are created at the same moment. See, they don't teach you this in history class. What we're talking about, they don't teach you any of this in history class. The only thing they teach in history class when I was going to school was you got over here and you was on slave ships. And a lot of times when they came over here, when the Europeans came over, when Columbus came over here, you check your history. Don't take my word for it. A lot of them, when they came over, they thought they were in Africa. Well, why did they think they was in Africa? Because the people that they were looking at on the shores of this land were dark-skinned people. That's why they thought they were in Africa. Huh? So what am I saying? Not all black people in America was necessarily directly from Africa from them slave ships. You don't believe me? Search it out yourself. Check it out yourself. Okay.
That's that propaganda.
But as Sister Montgomery is saying, that's that propaganda. Now, listen to this here. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say here. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, first appearance in print of the adjective white in reference to a white man, a person of a race distinguished by a light complexion, was in 1671. Colonial charters and other European documents written in the 1600s and early 1700s rarely refer to European colonists as white. Did you hear that, people?
To make them supreme.
Did you hear that? Now, I'm going to bring this out. Mm-hmm. So one thing we need to know is before 1671, there were no white people like that. They didn't consider themselves to be white. What they did, they could have considered themselves as to whichever country they come from. So if they were Scottish, they said Bobby the Scot. If they were from England, they would say Mary the English, from England. If they were from another country, they would characterize them as from that country or from that nation. They didn't go around calling themselves white or black. They said, well, I'm English. I'm Irish. Yeah. I'm Scottish. I'm African. They didn't say, oh, I'm white. Oh, I'm black. They didn't say that. All right. So we wanted to make that clear. I'll go over it again. Colonial charters and other official documents written in the 1600s and early 1700s rarely refer to European colonists as white. As the status of people of African descent in the British colonies were challenged and attacked, and as white indentured servants were given new rights and status, the word white continued to be more widely used in public documents and private papers to describe the European colonists. People of European descent were considered white, and those of African descent were labeled black. Many of the European descended poor whites began to identify themselves, if not directly with the rich whites, certainly with being white. And here you get the emergence of this idea of a white race as a way to distinguish themselves from those dark-skinned people who they associate with perpetual slavery. That's why we say white racism. The division in American society between black and white that began in the late 1600s had devastating consequences for African Americans as slavery became an institution that flourished for centuries. Lawyer and civil rights activist Brian Stevenson explained. Now I'm going to get into the word, but I want to bring that out because a lot of people think it was always that way. But this was an invention to divide the masses of people, black against white or white against black, to divide the masses and for the elitists to have complete servitude of white people. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. But I wanted to bring that out because it wasn't always like that. This thing of slavery, it was voted into. They changed a lot of laws. They changed a lot of laws to perpetuate slavery. They even changed how they recognized people. They stopped calling them by their native lands. They stopped calling them Scots and Irish, and so they just said white. And they gave the white people certain status, certain laws, and at the same time, they took the laws and status from the black people. And people of color, period. Because some of the Native Americans look just like us. They were black like us. So they took their land, they took their rights and everything from them so that they would not have a way out of that subjugation. Mm-hmm. But what I want to get into now is what I just brought out in an invention of black and white people. I want to go to the Word of God now. And it's amazing that the Word of God speaks against all this. It speaks against all this that was done in the 1600s. And the sad thing about it is a lot of people that were doing these things were at the same time calling themselves believers and Christians, read their Bibles every day. And they're still doing it now. But we're going to go a different way. Now, we went the way of society, history, and all this. Now I want to go the way of the word of what God is saying. Now, coming out of Leviticus 19, 9 through 18, which the Lord is talking about how we should treat one another. duties of people toward one another. Leviticus 19:9-18. When you harvest the grain in your land, don't harvest the grain in the corners of your fields or gather what is left after you finish. Don't harvest your vineyard a second time or pick up fallen grapes. Leave them for poor people and foreigners. I am the Lord your God. Then God said, never steal, lie, or deceive your neighbor. Never swear by my name in order to deceive anyone. This dishonors the name of your God. I am the Lord. Never oppress or rob your neighbor. Never keep the pay you owe or hire work overnight. That speaks against slavery. That speaks against not paying your indentured servant. It speaks against that. God speaks against that. Say, never curse deaf people or put anything in the way of blind people to make them stumble. Instead, fear your God. I am the Lord. Don't be corrupt when administering justice. Don't take the rights of people away. Don't take the rights of people so that you can enslave them. Don't take the rights of people so that you can misuse them. Don't take the rights of people that you can harm them in any way. Now, this is what God is saying. Never give special favors to poor people and never show preference to important people. Judge your neighbor fairly. Never gossip. Never endanger your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. He said, never hate another Israelite. Be sure to correct your neighbor so that you will not be guilty of sinning along with him. Never get revenge. Never hold a grudge against any of your people. Instead, love your neighbor as you love yourself. I am the Lord. So you see, we see why racism. Well, I just mentioned the invention of black and white in reference to people. And they disobeyed everything that God said. But at the same time, they said they believed in God and they were Christians. That's why we say, why racism? If we follow the word of God, we wouldn't even be talking about this word right here. Because God is not a racist and never was. Because if he was, then only certain people could be saved. And that's why the Lord doesn't want anybody to judge, because he sent his son to die for everybody. Not just the Hebrew or the Jew, but for everybody. And he was the Son of God. But he did not discriminate, and he wasn't a racist. Matthew 5:21-28, it covers a lot. But really, I could go through the whole thing, because it covers everything that we talked about in this why racism, that Jesus talks about anger. He said, never murder. Whoever murders will answer for it in court. But I can guarantee that whoever is angry with another believer will answer for it in court. Whoever calls another believer an insulting name will answer for it in the highest court. Whoever calls another believer a fool will answer for it in hellfire. Yeah. So you're offering your gift at the altar, and remember there that another believer has something against you, leave your gift at the altar. First, go away and make peace with that person, then come back and offer your gift. Okay. He say, make peace quickly with your opponent while you are on the way to court with him. Otherwise, he will hand you over to the judge. Then the judge will hand you over to an officer who will throw you into prison. I can guarantee you this, you won't get out until you pay every penny of your fine. Now, what I want to do right now, there's a particular song that I want to play because it goes in line with what we're talking about, why racism. I'm going to play this song. Hold on a minute. It's by Bobby Real Montgomery, and here it is. Thank you.
You know I'm a happy, you know I'm a sad. Just kind words to make them glad. We can make this world a better place. Try to be the person and not the face. Just a simple tune to let you know. Love is not the feelings that we all need to show. I see the pain, I can see it in your eyes. The hurt is inside that you try to hide. Your purpose in life, I know you don't realize. You work for a life, they commit your suicide. What makes a young girl hurt when she takes her soul? What makes a young girl twerk only 9 years old? And we lost control, I see we failed. Everybody kids lost all hope, I call it robbery. My babies have no clue where their identity. Only not the enemy, they all need to love with peace. We ain't really trauma cease, it's like a living disease. I don't have all the answers, so I have to plead. With the power that's invested in me. Recognizing hurt kids the key. Recognizing all men have a right to be free. Now I walk down the hallway and scared of police. Victim of the beatdown, scared of being shot down. Maybe cause you look a little different than me. Or maybe cause you might have a different belief. I don't even understand why this stuff happened to me. But I really have to stand some strong apology. But if I can see that it's shown in the streets, then of course that's an image that's displayed on the beat. There's a limit to the goals you achieve.
Want to play that because it had a direct reference to what we're talking about in reference to white racism, and that song related to that.
I wrote it.
Oh yeah, well that was a song that was written by Evangelist Montgomery, and it was sung by Bobby Real Montgomery, and it goes into and it talks about what we're talking about, white racism, why we don't need to judge people based on their appearance. Now, our guest call-in number is 646-668-8633, and we're going to go on with our subject, why racism. And the reason I like to go through various scriptures, because after we give you all the facts and the invention of black and white and the reason that was done, is because I like to bring out this in reference to what God says about this. Because a lot of people believe that God is okay with this, and they like to try to say that black people were cursed to be slaves because they were descendants of Ham, which is not true. We are not. You can read, and if you don't believe me, you can follow it up and document yourself in history that we are not the descendants of Ham. We are not descendants of Ham. We're not cursed and never were curse, the curse of Ham, was never on us because we are not descendants of Ham. We are descendants of Shem. And if you don't believe it, trace the history. Look it up for yourself. Don't take my word for it. That's just what some people said to try to perpetuate the bondage that was placed upon a people. Now, I'm going back to Matthew. I'm going to read, I'm going to bring the word of God out in this regard, because you'll see that God did not curse us, neither did he say that we will be slaves by a curse. Okay? So you have heard that it was said, never commit adultery, but I can guarantee, and whoever looks with lust at a woman has already committed adultery in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. But better for you to lose part of your body than to have it all thrown into hell. If your right hand leads you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. Better for you to lose part of your body than to have all of it go into hell. Then said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a written notice, but I can guarantee that any man who divorces his wife for any reason other than unfaithfulness makes her look as though she has committed adultery. Whoever marries a woman divorced in this way makes herself look at as though he has committed adultery. Now, the reason that I'm going and mentioning all these things is because all this stuff that Jesus said for people not to do was done against us from the 1600s for 400 years. That's why I'm mentioning it. That's why I'm tying it together. Why racism? Jesus, God, did not perpetuate this mindset or this thought. God didn't do this. Jesus didn't do this. They spoke against these things, and that's why I'm reading it right here. So why did it happen? Why did it happen? It happened because of greed and avarice, because of wealthy landowners, because of the elitists, those in power, to divide and pit people against each other so that they can maintain dominance. Did you hear me? That's why we have racism. And it's the same today. The regular people, normal regular people going to work every day, they don't have the power to do that. But those in the elitists, those wealthy, very wealthy people, not all of them, but you do have some elitists up there that's pulling the strings, that's pitting us against each other in every way to control us and to keep their dominance, to have somebody to continually serve them, and to have someone who will continually divide the masses because they don't want people to come together and throw the yoke off their back.
Well,
throw that control off their back. That's what it's about.
Think about the people that they had killed when they were trying to unite the people. You had your Mega Evers, you had the kings, people like that.
Yeah, and everyone who, if you notice, as Evangelist Montgomery just said, anyone who would bring the people together for any common goal that would help the people, you see what happened to them. They are killed, ostracized, or put in mental institutions because they're coming against the main power source that would seek to keep the regular citizens in bondage. That's what we're talking about. Say, why racism? And as long as people hold on to that, is as long as they will stay in bondage and stay in control, and they have the power.
Don't do
But God is dealing with this. That's why I'm going to scripture. That's why I'm going to the word. That's why I'm going to what the Lord Jesus said and what God said in reference to all of this. All right? And swearing. Now, Jesus said, love your enemies. Now, some people have a problem with this, but think about this. If people really love the way they should have, we wouldn't have the problems that we have now. If back then they had the love and they treated, if back in the 1600s, they had the right kind of love that the Lord talked about, and they had the right kind of heart toward people, we wouldn't be where we are now. Because they would not have made those laws. They would not have invented black and white to keep people separated. They would not have done any of those things because they believed in God the way they should have. But they did not. And that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. You say, why racism? Well, we just went through that. Why? The main reason is fear. Fear from the elite that someone would rise up and make them treat people right. They think everybody wants to take their stuff. No, people don't want to take their stuff like that, but people do want to be treated fairly. That's what that's why they revolted in the 1600s, because they were not treated fairly. Taxes were put upon the common people, but the rich people then didn't pay taxes. And they paid taxes, but they didn't have proper representation. That sounds like 1776, doesn't it? Taxation without representation? Well, that's what that revolt was about, mainly. And so they invented this to keep people separated so that they can be more easily controlled. Because you remember back in the 1600s, Bacon took Jamestown, burnt it to the ground, and started to establish things the way it should have been. But then they came back and they killed the leaders, and then they start changing laws. Then that's where this racism come from. To say that black people were supposed to be perpetually slaves and they took all their rights away. And I repeated that, but sometimes it needs to be repeated. But Jesus said, love your enemies. Say, you have said eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But Jesus said, I tell you not to oppose an evil person. If someone slaps you on your right cheek, turn your other cheek to him as well. And that's hard to do. If someone wants to sue you in order to take your shirt, let him have your coat too. If someone forced you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles with him. Give to everyone who asks you for something. Don't turn anyone away who wants to borrow something from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you this, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And this way you show that you are children of your Father in heaven. Makes his sun rise on people whether they are good or evil. He lets rain fall on them whether they are just or unjust. You love those who love you. Do you deserve a reward? Even the tax collectors do that. Are you doing anything remarkable if you welcome only your friends? Everyone does that. That is why you must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Evangelist Montgomery is getting ready to say something.
But like you were saying about the control, and that's why I was speaking earlier about the ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
When they put a group of people in certain areas, they automatically can control them because they know they have to depend on the government for their livelihood, like social status. They have to depend on them for a paycheck or a welfare check or something like that. Because a person, if you take all the jobs out the community, they're going to have to eat. They're going to survive. So who do they need to look to for their basic human needs?
Amen.
They look to the government. And at that, the government can control them.
And that's absolutely true. And what many people don't understand is you have many people who, not all, but you have some people in positions of high authority and power and wealth, they seek to control. They seek to control and manipulate. Many of them, not all, but many of them would rather pay $60,000 to $70,000 per year per inmate for a person to stay in prison, rather than that person be out working in society. They would rather have that person in prison, incarcerated, and spend $60,000 to $70,000 on an inmate than for that person to be out working in society. Now, people, they say, oh, no, that's true. Do you know that there are some people that would rather have people on welfare than for them to be out working or getting a degree? You say, oh, no, I'm serious. They would rather have it that way because they can control people. They can manipulate people that way. You see? Oh, it gets deep. As I say so many times, if you don't believe me, don't take my word for it. Go look it up for yourself. Do you know that some of these prisons have stock? They have stock. Some of these prisons, they're making money off the prison.
And that's why 80% black men is incarcerated.
And that's why we say, why racism? It goes back to the dollar.
80%.
It goes back to the dollar. Now you see why 80% of our prisons are filled with black folk.
Are people of color.
Why is that? That's the closest thing to slavery that is. They're getting free work out of it. Why racism? This is what we're talking about. We'll get back to the word a minute here. Because everything when I'm going to the word, it flies against what we're talking about. It flies against what these people did in the 1600s. It flies against this invention of black and white. It flies against all that. You got to remember, before they invented that, as I said before, people were known by the nation that they come from. And that's how it was for hundreds of years, maybe even thousands of years. That's how it was. People wasn't so much noted by what they look like, their complexion. They were noted by the nation they come from. That's why they would say, well, this is an Ethiopian. This is a Roman. This is a Greek. Well, he's from Syrophoenicia. They're from Ireland, they're from Scotland, they're from England. You see, they weren't, well, he white. No, what?
That totally puts them above. That
No. That word right there, that word was created to separate people and to say that someone is superior to someone else.
So what should you call them? White?
You call them Caucasian. But nevertheless, that was the reason for it. That was the reason for this racism that we're dealing with now. But the Lord would say, when you dedicate yourself to God the way you should, you won't be caught up in any of that, because you will know the truth. Mark 12:30-31, so love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second most important commandment is this: love your neighbor as you love yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. It's greater than these.
Loving your neighbor means not doing harm.
Yeah. So we going back to that. Say, why racism? Well, when you love your neighbor, check it out. As you love yourself, now you're not going to hurt yourself. You're not going to put yourself in bondage. You're not going to put yourself in slavery. You're not going to harm yourself in any way. So that's how God wants you to look at and respect your neighbor.
Yeah.
So if you are racist, or if you believe in this stuff that these people are talking about, if you believe in separation of people, then you can't love. And if you can't love, you don't have God. And if you don't have God, then you're not going to make it into the kingdom. As simple as that. There's not going to be any haters in the kingdom. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter who you are, what you look like. If you practice any kind of hate, racism, or anything like that, you're not going to make it into the kingdom. And that's just it. That's the truth of the matter. Now, that is the truth. That is the truth. There will be no races in heaven. I don't care who you are. There will be no haters, no people that hate other people will be in heaven, will be anywhere that the Lord will be. So, in regard to that, we will have to shed some mindsets and some thought patterns. We're going to have to shed some brainwashing. We're going to have to shed this stuff because it's going to separate you from God. And that's just it. Now, this is Kingdom of God Ministries talking. And we're talking about why racism is an invention. Do you hear me? It is an invention set about to separate the masses and to have perpetual servants for the elitists. That's what that's about. And this country has fallen into it horribly. And it's time for this country to come out of it so that we can be truly blessed of God. We might think we're blessed now, but it's just God's grace that we are where we are today. Strictly God's grace. If it wasn't for God's grace, and if it wasn't for God's people praying, there's no telling where this nation would be right now. No telling where this nation would be. But because God is good and he loves everyone, he made this nation a powerful nation, a nation that's looked up to by other nations.
They can take the fear test.
But we have to deal with the fear. We have to deal with the falsehood. And we have to deal with the lies. Or else we will see another side of God. And I'm telling you, you don't want to see that side. Because God is a just God. And like he said in his word, you reap what you sow.
But, and I just want to, this is dialogue here, but for someone to hate someone based strictly on their color, you see how foolish that is? Because I was reading over, and I believe it was Jeremiah, he said, can the Ethiopian change his color? Or can the leopard change his spot? So what he was saying, I created everybody the color that I wanted them to be. Now, how are you going around saying you hate somebody based on color or social status? Because like I just told you, people don't choose to be in the ghetto. The elite created the ghetto. Think about some of these once thriving cities. You have your Detroit. Once they were thriving, they produced all type of manufacturing, car manufacturing in those huge cities. Now all of a sudden they're ghost towns. All the big corporations has moved out and went to the other suburbs, leaving the people there that cannot get out, creating ghettos. Think about that. So do you think it's by choice people living in the ghetto?
No.
They created this.
Mm-hmm.
But for you or whoever it is, I don't care who you call yourself. I don't care. This goes demographically. It's going across the line. I don't care. It ain't just black and white because you got Asians hating folks. You got Indians hating folks. You got, I mean, it's just doggy dog out there. Somebody hating somebody cause of this, cause of that. The bottom line, look at yourself. Why do you really hate? Because of fear.
That's it.
Because you're fearful. You're fearful of really getting to know that person. Really fearful because you have believed a lie that has been perpetuated to you. Amen.
Amen. We want to, amen, praise God. And in reference to what you just said, listen to this here. And I have to, I really, to be truthful, I have to bring the word of God back to this subject. Because when you disobey the word, then you can do what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. You can be racist, but think about this here. This is Romans 12 and 1. Brothers and sisters, in view of all we have just shared about God's compassion, I encourage you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices dedicated to God and pleasing him. This kind of worship is appropriate for you. Don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way you think. We got to change the way we think. Change the way you think. Then you will always be able to determine what God really wants, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. Mm. See, the reason that this racism thing flourished the way it did is because people had the mindset of the world, and they didn't change the way they thought. They went right along with it. They knew it was wrong. They knew it. They accepted that term of white and black. The white folks accepted that term because they got a little status. They got to be associated with the rich folks back then. Even though they wasn't rich, they were still living in them little shacks or whatever it was, and they had a little acre of land, and they grew a little something, but they were still made to feel that they were superior to the black people when they were servants like them just before they made those laws. They were looked at the same way the black people were looked at by the elitists.
They abolished this white supremacy. See, or nationalists, white nationalists, all that is just hate groups.
Well, all of it is, but that's why we're saying what we're saying.
Mm-hmm. Perpetuating patriotism.
Amen. And that's why we're using the word of God. Because someone has to make a stand for what's right and cannot continue to follow what is wrong. That's what we're saying.
And this is to the Muslims. If you going out killing people in the name of Allah, killing Christians, that's hatred. You're not serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're serving the God of this world because we just told you, if you love God, you cannot hate your brother. So this is to them. I don't care. Shut the program down. You don't like what I'm saying? It's the truth anyhow. But we are seeing, we get reports of a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ being murdered by the hand of Islam.
That is true.
And that is not of God.
It's not of God.
It's hatred.
And that's what we're addressing. But what we're going to say, and then we're going to close out, why racism? Well, we've addressed all that, and it gets much deeper than that. But we can only go so far in a 90-minute program. But the whole thing is this: turn to the true and living God, repent, change the way you think, and don't be like the people of the world. That's it. It starts with each and every one of us. Starts with each and every one of us. We have to repent, change our mindset, And one thing I want to say, and I have to say this, I thank God for the progress that we have made in this country. Okay? I thank God for the progress that we've made in this country, but there are still remnants of that happened in Virginia in 1667 or 1676. There are still remnants of that, and it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. So we thank God for everyone that listened on tonight, and we pray that someone has gotten some revelation and has been blessed by the word and some deliverance, and I hope it will help you to change your mind.
Father God, we just want to thank you for the program on tonight, Lord God, and we come humbly before you, Lord God. And Lord God, we ask in your holy name that we each check ourselves, Lord God, if there's any remnant of racism, hatred, unforgiveness. Lord God, we repent of that today.
Amen. In the name of
Lord
Jesus.
God, cleanse us, wash us with hyssop. Take it away from us, Lord God, because we want to love as you love, Lord
Amen.
God. We want to see our brothers and sisters the way you see our brothers and sisters, Lord God.
Mm-hmm.
Lord God, no more will we lift ourselves up in pride and look down upon your creation, for you have created all men equally.
Amen.
And none is beneath the other. So, Lord God, we just ask that you touch us, cleanse us, help us to come together as a nation, as Christians, brothers and sisters. Lord God, we have so much we can do together, but so little we can do divided. So, Lord God, we ask that you touch each of our listening audience, touch them, heal them. Lord God, if there was hurt, if they've been wounded, if they've been discriminated against, Lord God, take that anger and turn it to love.
Amen.
Turn it to peace. Give them your peace, Lord God, perfect peace. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's it. William Biscuit up there. No.